though I wish he could have arranged a more comfortable journey. Still, all very much at your service once more, Mr. Baggins. No doubt we shall feel properly grateful when we are fed and recovered. In the meanwhile, what next?"
"I suggest Lake Town," said Bilbo.
"What else is there?"
Nothing else could, of course, be suggested. So leaving the others, Thorin and Feely and Keely and the Hobbit went along the shore to the great bridge. There were guards at the head of it, but they were not keeping very careful watch, for it was so long since there had been any real need. Except for occasional squabbles about river tolls, they were friends with the wood elves. Other folk were far away, and some of the younger people in the town openly doubted the existence of any dragon in the mountain, and laughed at the greybeards and gammers who said that they had seen him flying in the sky in their young days. That being so, it is not surprising that the guards were drinking and laughing by a fire in their hut, and did not hear the noise of the unpacking of the dwarves or the footsteps of the four scouts. Their astonishment was enormous when Thorin Oakenshield stepped in through the door.
"Who are you and what do you want?" they shouted, leaping to their feet and groping for weapons. "Thorin, son of Thrain, son of Thror, king under the mountain," said the dwarf in a loud voice,
and he looked it, in spite of his torn clothes and draggled hood. The gold gleamed on his neck and waist. His eyes were dark and deep.
"I have come back. I wish to see the master of your town."
Then there was tremendous excitement. Some of the more foolish ran out of the hut as if they expected the mountain to go golden in the night and all the waters of the lake to turn yellow right away. The captain of the guard came forward.
"And who are these?" he asked, pointing to Feely and Keely and Bilbo. "The sons of my father's daughter," answered Thorin. "Feely and Keely of the race of Durin, and Mr. Baggins, who has travelled with us out of the west."
"If you come in peace, lay down your arms," said the captain.
"We have none," said Thorin. And it was true enough. Their knives had been taken from them by the wood elves, and the great sword Orcrist too.
Bilbo had his short sword, hidden as usual, but he said nothing about that.
"We have no need of weapons, or return at last to our own as spoken of old,"